So as Megan said earlier, this new series, Big Bad Wolf, has just started this week. And we've got three parts to it. In the song we just sang, we talked about, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. And this series really is trying to address the dangers of people who would take us away from the way to our Father's house, of which there is only one. So there's three parts. Next week, Steph, our minister, who's hiding somewhere, there she is, hello Steph, is going to be talking about troublemakers, this first kind of wolf we might encounter, or second kind of wolf we're going to encounter. And the troublemaker isn't really sincere. They're not out for God, they're really out for themselves. That's one kind of a wolf that we're going to be looking at. And then in week three, Rob is going to be talking about heretics. Don't worry too much about the word, but this is people who might be for God, they might be sincere, but unfortunately, they've got some things seriously wrong about God. They might be taking us down a wrong path. But I'm starting things off with, I think, the worst kind of wolf of all. This is people who are deliberately leading us away from God. They're not out for God, not particularly out for themselves. They're out to take people away from God. Now, it might be kind of an unusual topic that we're doing, but I was hugely encouraged. I got an email last week from somebody in the church to say, isn't it time we talked about spiritual dangers? And I thought, aha, we have this series coming up, which that person did not know about. So I was able to report back, I think you're absolutely right, and come next week. So I hope this is something that you take really seriously. It's not a kind of a light and fluffy topic. We might have some fun with it, but it's a really serious issue that we're going to talk about, spiritual dangers and people leading us astray for one reason or another. A really important job for the preaching team to do. Far more important than the first job I ever had, which I want to just talk to you a little bit about. My first ever job when I was 15, so 20 years or so ago, I worked for a fruiterer in my home city of Chester. I wasn't the fruiterer, nor the assistant fruiterer. Perhaps you've heard of a minion. You've heard of minions? Yeah, well, it was kind of a hierarchical structure. It was a family-run business. There was Mr. Thomas, the fruiterer. And then there was his son, Mr. Thomas Jr., young Mr. Thomas, as he was called, and I'm not joking, young Mr. Thomas. And then there was his son, who was just called by his first name, but we can call him Mr. Thomas the even youngerer, if you like. Then there were the shop girls. It was, I have to say, exclusively girls who looked after the sales at the counter. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there was the minion. And the minion's name was Colin. Colin was the stockman. Now, he was like a human forklift truck. I don't know if you ever picked up a box of bananas, full box of bananas, but Colin could carry not one, not two, but four boxes of bananas up the stairs to the stockroom. And this being in the days before health and safety was invented, it was a very narrow, winding wooden staircase that he would carry these bananas up. So Colin was the stockman, the minion. I was very much the, well, I like a German word here, the Untermeister. I was Colin's henchman, if you like, the minion of the minion. So very much like Colin in the band these days, I'm kind of Colin's minion in the band, the Untermeister in the worship team. So my job consisted, it was a Saturday job, and it led on to being kind of a summer holiday job. I would have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And in the summertime, that was really difficult, because if you're kind of 15 years old, to get a reasonable amount of sleeping, you've got to head to your bed really early. And it's light, it's sunny, it's warm. 8 o'clock comes and goes, 9 o'clock comes and goes, 10 o'clock comes and goes. The alarm goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. Of course, you silence it and fall back to sleep. Then the second alarm goes because you've thought it through, and that gets silenced as well. And then you're woken in a cold sweat by this sound of a van rattling to a halt outside your mum and dad's house. And you know that you've got approximately 5 minutes before Mr. Thomas, the younger, rings the doorbell, which you do not want to happen in your mum and dad's house at 5 a.m. So a frantic scramble would ensue. I would rush out to the van, and it was usually young Mr. Thomas, the middle layer of hierarchy. He would drive us to Ellesmereport Market, fruit market, of course, fruit and veg. When I say fruit, just think fruit and veg today, shorthand. So he would regale me with stories about his school days and wake me up when we got there to Ellesmereport Market, because I was, of course, catching my sleep. There would then follow some intense negotiations about various kinds of fruit and veg. And then the underminion would load the van we would drive back to Chester, and Colin, the minion, and his untermeister minion would unload the van up to the stock room, and then we'd have to take care of keeping the stock replenished in the store. So that was my highly important first job. Now, one day, I was doing what's called stock rotation. I'd been asked to bring out a new box of, it was actually carrots. So there was an old box of carrots with a few left in it, and I fetched down a new lovely box of carrots. And because of I'd been taught about stock rotation, I started to put the remaining carrots from the old box on the top of the new box, because you want those to go first. And suddenly I heard a heavy footstep on the stairwell behind me, and I heard the voice that struck fear into me. It was the fruiterer himself, Mr. Thomas Senior. "What are you doing? What are you doing with my beautiful carrots? You're covering up my beautiful carrots." He was a lovely man, by the way. I'm not wanting to make mock. He was a great guy. But he took his job very seriously. "What are you doing? You're covering my beautiful carrots." Now, I may have muttered something about stock rotation. And what else am I going to do with the carrots? Because I knew he hated waste. We didn't want to chuck them away. But there was a greater truth in the air than stock rotation. I was the underminion. But he was the fruiterer, and known by his fruit. He might have been the most skillful, gifted fruiterer in all the world, but if his fruit and veg were bad, he'd be known as a bad fruiterer, wouldn't he? So much for my story about the fruiterer, but I want you just to keep that in mind. Sometimes we judge people by their gifts, their abilities, how charismatic they appear to be. Maybe we ought to think again. Think about the people in leadership generally, maybe at school or in the workplace or in the political realm. What are they trying to sell you? And is it good fruit? Or is it maybe fake news? Are they selling you something that's good and worthy? Or is it something fake? When it comes to discerning truth, we need to be careful about what we believe and what we look at awry and think, is that true? Are they for real? It might sound plausible, but what about the person telling you that news? They might be gifted, but is it fake news that they're peddling? We have gifted marketeers, gifted politicians, gifted preachers, gifted leaders. Should we look at their gifts or their fruits? I want to talk specifically about church leadership. And I want to explore this with a passage from what's come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount, kind of the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was teaching his followers all sorts of truths. And as he starts heading towards talking about the kingdom of heaven, and following his teaching and putting it into practice, he has these words to say, and they'll just come up on the screen just now. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it." He's talking about the road to our Father's house, the kingdom of heaven. Enter through the narrow gate. But the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And next slide, please. Beware of false prophets. He says prophets, he could be talking about leaders in general. Prophets in the Old Testament part of the Bible would very often be guilty of saying what the king or the people wanted to hear. Never mind if it was from God or not. What was convenient for them to say? What were their ends? Where were they wanting to take people? And where do people in leadership want to take you? So beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits. Look to people's fruits, not their gifting, not how impressive they might appear, how likable they might be, charismatic they might be, how easy their message might sound, how inclusive their message might sound. But what about the messenger? Look to their fruits. They will come in church life in sheep's clothing. That is to say, they might look like one of the flock. We use that wonderful metaphor of a flock and Jesus the good shepherd. They might look like and pretend to be a member of the flock. But a ravenous wolf wants to destroy, wants to tear, wants to maybe divide the flock so they can pick off the weak and the vulnerable, and we need to be on guard. Their fruits are not good fruits. I'm not saying, by the way, anyone who is in church leadership has to be perfect or in any other realm, come to that, political or in any workplace. Of course, we're never perfect. We're all sinful. We all fall short. But nevertheless, we need to look at people's fruits, how they live their lives, what we know about them, of them. What are their fruits? Are they fruits of impurity? Do we see jealousy, anger, enmity? Do they stir up division, factions? They want to prey on the weak and the vulnerable. The Apostle Paul, one of Jesus' early followers, who had his life transformed, he was sincere but wrong originally, until Jesus had a radical encounter with him and changed him utterly. And Paul wrote about other fruits, love and joy and peace and patience and generosity and faithfulness and kindness and self-control. These are the kinds of fruits that we should look for and then begin to say, well, maybe this is a sincere person who is for God. Not the angry, divisive, bitter, hateful person who seems to want to tear people down and destroy. You will know them by their fruits. Now, I want to just have a little illustration of this, just to give you a little memorable picture. And I need a couple of volunteers who I've already selected. So, Megan, why don't you come, please? And Peter, wise and experienced man over here, promising young leader over here. Step up here. Now, you are the jury on this, folks. One of these people is going to be an apple tree. The other is going to pretend to be an apple tree and trying to sell you the idea that they are the apple tree and not the other person. And you have to decide which is which. They're going to do this, ladies and gentlemen, through the medium of mime. So I have to say, Peter has kind of, well, an upper hand here in one respect. Megan is very much a promising young leader, but Peter has, in terms of the ability to grow gifting and demonstrate gifting, Peter, my friend over here, has what I'm going to call a chronologically advantageous position. But don't let that distract you. So we're going to start, if I may, Pete, with Megan. So, Megan, can you please sell the apple tree? You are the apple tree. Be the tree. Isn't that lovely? Fabulous. Stay there. Be the tree. Pete, be the tree. You are the apple tree. Oh, he's come prepared. Oh, isn't that lovely? Fantastic. Oh, do you know, I've forgotten something. I forgot to give you your fruit. Stay there. Stay in your wonderful position. So, Megan, I have for you your apples. Bramley's. So again, if you can, just for the lovely people, Peter, your bananas. can you please be the apple tree that you pretend to be? Can you just show the people what a lovely apple tree you are? So friends, regardless of wisdom and experience, where's the apple tree? Thank you very much. Let's give these people a lovely round of applause. Peter, I hesitate. I shouldn't hesitate to say, is a wonderfully gifted, genuine person. He's just playing the role of the banana plant for me there. So we should look at people's fruits and not just their gifting or how likable they are, how experienced they are. Their fruit will show you who they really are. Not their gifts, nor even their doctrines, the things that they say they believe, but their fruits will tell you who they are. Paul wrote a number of letters to the early churches, and he wrote this to the church at a place called Corinth. Such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. If anyone would like the reference, come and see me later. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You will know them by their fruits. Do you know, sometimes people move on from EBC, and that's absolutely fine. When I know somebody is rooted in Christ, I know that they're safe. It's when people don't go to a church that is going to lead them the right way that I get concerned. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If somebody's pointing you to anyone other than Jesus, look to their fruits and beware. Beware the wolf in sheep's clothing. Jesus said, feed to Peter, one of his greatest friends, one of the people who started to build the church. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Sometimes people jokingly say to me, how is your flock? It's not my flock. It wasn't Peter's sheep, not Paul's sheep, not anybody else's sheep, but Jesus' sheep. People in leadership in churches, prophets, leaders, preachers, should be pointing you to Jesus, or beware the wolf in sheep's clothing. Some fake news stories are funny. My favourite is the story about Snowball, the monster cat, weighing in 87 pounds and apparently found living near an atomic plant in Canada. So that's quite funny. But sometimes it's really, really dangerous. People might be trying to feed you something that is bad fruit. The world wants to feed us lots of things. It's up to us what we feed on and what we feed other people. We're all leaders of somebody. Let me, just as I close, just remind you maybe, I'll tell you for the first time if you've not heard this, a story. It's about an American Indian boy who wakes up really early one morning and he goes out to look out on the world. And he looks out on this incredible scenery as the sun rises. Canyons, mountains, eagles soaring overhead. And then he feels a hand on his shoulder. It's his old grandfather has been disturbed as the boy gets up and he comes out to spend time with him as the sun rises. And as the boy looks out on the landscape, he says to his grandfather, Grandfather, what will my life be like? The grandfather says to him, a man's life, my son, is like this. There are two wolves inside him. One is a good wolf. The other is evil. And the wolves clutch and tear and bite at each other throughout the man's life until one wins. Grandfather, which one wins? Always the same, my son. Always the same. And the boy's eyes widen. Grandfather, which one wins? And the old man puts a hand on his shoulder and says, the one you feed, my son. The one you feed.